Hello and welcome back to the Sweet Spot here on The Racing Post, your go-to golf tipping show. Bruce Millington has swapped the presenting chair for the golf course this week, so I'm a wild card coming in. Jack Reeve joined alongside Steve Palmer. Three tournaments to look back on, just the one men's tournament this week, but we've also got the first major of 2021 in the ladies' game to look forward to. To go through all of that, Steve Palmer joins me. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, good thanks. I'm sure you enjoyed the WGC Dell Technologies match play. That was really exciting, wasn't it?
You know what? I think there was some good stuff in there, but the TV coverage just missed all of the joy.
Yeah. I hate that tournament. I mean, the group stages are dull, and then the latter stages are even duller, aren't they? You're right. The TV coverage is so haphazard over the early stages. You can't really follow what's happening on the TV. And you know, as a punter, what I don't like about it is your player can play brilliantly and lose, or can play awful and win. You know, I think you need lady luck on your side a lot more than usual there. You had three players in the group stage. Poor old Ryan Palmer, Xander Schauffele and Joachim Niemann. They didn't lose a group match. They went out of the group stage. I mean, I just think that's unfair. And then and you look at Billy Horschel. Well, it's not unfair. It's just a poor format. Billy Horschel, the eventual champion, got absolutely thrashed in one of his group matches by JT Poston. So, yeah, you need everything to go your way in the group stages to find the winner of that one.
And I suppose that the story of the week was the fact that hardly any of the big players in that tournament sort of got through the first stages, did they?
No, that's right. John Rahm was the only one that progressed deep enough. And then he was beaten by Scotty Scheffler. I mean, Billy Horschel was just about backable because his record in Texas was so good. His last win came in Texas, the 2017 Byron Nelson. He was runner-up in the Houston Open before as well. So, yeah, you could have got Horschel, I think. He's a greens and regulation machine. He likes... when you're churning out greens in regulation, it makes you such a tough opponent. I think he's on the Ryder Cup radar now as well. I think Steve Stricker would like to have Billy Horschel on his team.
So you had a week off last week, Steve, didn't you? Did you tune in to much of the golf, or were you keeping your son occupied? Because the courses are open now, aren't they? Are you going to unleash him onto the course?
I look forward to that. But yeah, the courses have come open right at the time when the majors are starting, and you've got the Olympics, the Ryder Cup. I'll be chained to my desk, so I think he'll have to go and play on his own. I'll just drop him off at the golf course, see how it gets on.
Great stuff. So that was the match play tournament. We also had the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship, and there was a lovely story there, wasn't there, with Joel Darman.
Yeah, that was a real tearjerker. I mean, the most heartwarming victory of the week. He's a cancer survivor, is Joel Damon. He had testicular cancer, and he toiled on the mini tours for many years. And at the age of 33, he's made his PGA Tour breakthrough. The scenes afterwards, very emotional scenes afterwards, his wife Lona rushed onto the 18th green. I mean, I thought that the 2002 Players' Championship and Maureen Perks, you must remember that one, Maureen Perks rushed onto the green to greet Craig Perks. I thought that would never be beaten, but I think on Sunday it probably was. Yeah, they've been through a lot, Lona and Joel, and it was great to see him win. He was a 50-1 winner. I think he might have been popular selection as well, because that course suits him well. He had some good course form coming in.
And looking at the leaderboard, it was lovely to see a certain Graham McDowell up there.
Yes. A return to form for Graham. Yeah, he's a former champion of that tournament. So, again, really, really suited to the course. I mean, Damon down the stretch was understandably twitchy. He was two over par for that back nine. It was breezy, and he scraped home by a shot. But, I was pleased to see McDowell out there. And then in Ryder Cup terms, I mean, Thomas Peters, it was another great opportunity for him. And he was in contention going to the final round, and he dropped away. Shot 74 on Sunday. Yeah, Thomas Peters back is just... Yeah, it's a soul-destroying experience following him.
Well, I'm glad it's me and not Bruce, because I know Bruce has a certain mood towards a certain Thomas Peters. We also had the Kenya Savannah Classic. Now, this was a strange one because it teed off on the Tuesday, didn't it? So we pretty much had a full week of golf, which is never a bad thing in my book. It was won by Daniel Van Tonder, found by Ian Wilkerson in the Racing Post Sport. So well done to him. Joe Champion tipped up Sam Horsfield, who I know you're a big fan of, Steve. He was well up there, but it was Van Tonder who beat Jazz Jane Wattenand in a playoff. That was a joyful tournament in the end.
I agree. Yeah, it was great to have a final round on a Friday, wasn't it? I mean, I look after my son all day on a Friday. We just settle down and watch the entire final round of the Kenya Open for hours, and he doesn't mind. And it was a thriller, wasn't it? I mean, I wasn't following the exchanges, but I'd imagine a lot of players went very short for that tournament.
Yeah.
That ended up not winning it. I mean, Jas Jonawatanon had one hand on the trophy, bogeyed 16, I believe. Callum Hill looked like a potential champion until the 18th hole. I think of a bit of adrenaline in there and pumped it through the green, clumsy chip back, made bogey on the 18th. So, it's a thrilling tournament. And Van Tonne, all credit to him. In the playoff, he was brilliant, wasn't he? I mean, on the back nine, a bit of a wobble, then the big long snake at 18 to get in the playoff. And then in the playoff, he was fantastic. I'm not sure about him as a player. I think I don't really like that big ropey hook. You know, he aims like 40 yards right and pulls it round. I think what helped him was how easy Karen is. I mean, Karen is one of the easiest tracks out there. I think, you know, a lot of these drivable par fours, he was just slugging at the green and reaching a chip and a putt for birdie. I'm not sure about Van Tonne on more difficult tracks, but fantastic to see him win that. He looked so happy, didn't he?
The great thing with Van Tonne is he gave himself so many birdie chances, but often he put his first putt like 10-foot past. He was so aggressive. Just a quick word on Sam Horsfield. I know he was a big fan of yours last season, a couple of wins on the European Tour. He's had some horrible back problems, but two good rounds in Kenya. And if it wasn't for that shank down 18, where he had a horrible time all week, he would have probably found himself in a playoff. So probably one to look out for.
Yeah, he looks fully fit, which is the main thing, isn't it? And he's blessed with immense talent. That 18th hole gave him nightmares. But Sam Horsfield is back in business. And I think Callum Hill is the other one we need to give a big mention for, because during that final round, he was absolutely sensational. He was very close to making eight birdies in a row in the middle of a final round in contention. He missed a tiddler on the 11th hole, which broke that sequence. And then, as I say, I think it was just adrenaline that messed him up on the 18th. The second shot on the chip, both a bit clumsy. But I think Hill was really impressive and seems destined to become a European Tour champion soon enough.
Definitely. So let's take a look at this week's tournaments then. Just the one on the PGA Tour, none on the European Tour. It's the Valero Texas Open, played at TPC San Antonio on the Oaks course. Steve, how many tips this week?
Four.
Very nice. Take them away. What's your main selection?
The main selection is Scottie Scheffler. A lot of punters are ruling out Scottie Scheffler this week, putting a line through him on the basis that he's going to be too exhausted after his match play exertions, runner-up in the match play last week. But I just think that's too simple, too dismissive of his chances. I mean, this is a fighting fit 24-year-old. I mean, you're a very young man, Jack. Around the 24 mark?
Yeah, 23. I wouldn't necessarily describe myself as fighting fit, though. Well,
your energy levels are high. I know. I've seen you in action around the office, up early, go to bed late. Yeah, don't you worry about Scottie Scheffler. I saw him in his press conference after that. He looked like he could do another 54 holes. He is desperate for this PGA Tour breakthrough. He's come close on so many occasions. And he's playing in his home state this week. He's going to give 100%. He lives in Dallas. So in a half-hour flight home from Austin, it's a 45-minute flight from Dallas to San Antonio. These are very, very short journeys for PGA Tour pros. You also have to consider how fresh he was coming into the match play. The only other tournament he's played in March was the Players' Championship, and he missed the cut there. So this month, he's only played 9 competitive rounds of golf. And 7 of those were last week. So it was a big, big workload last week. But it's spread across 5 days. The weekend is the really intense part of the match play. He came into that weekend with a 5-4 victory over Ian Poulter. So he breezed through the last 16. So I think the confidence he gained from last week is much more important than the potential fatigue. Look at how he performed last week. Scheffler was unbeaten in a really tough group. Xander Schauffele and Jason Day were in that group he came through. Then he thrashed Ian Poulter, you know, the king, Europe's Ryder Cup king. And he beat John Rahm, who was the best player to get through to the knockout stages we discussed. He beat a former match play champion in Matt Kuchar. And the only person who beat him all week was Billy Horschel. Scheffler banked a check for more than $1 million for finishing runner-up. He's propelled himself into the Ryder Cup equation. It was a fantastic week for Scottie Scheffler. So I think he overcomes the fatigue and goes really close in his home state this week to winning. He's lived in Texas since he was a little kid. He played in the 2019 Texas Open when he was still a Korn Ferry Tour player, remember. He's very new to the scene. And he finished 20th in that, 4 under par rounds. So this is his second visit to San Antonio. I think he wins.
Well, that's a very convincing case. A quick show of the prices, apologies. Jordan Spieth is the favourite, 10 to 1. Finau, 12 to 1. Scheffler, who Steve just mentioned, around 14s. Hideki Matsuyama, 16s. Abraham Anser, 18s. I do also see a certain Siwoo Kim on that shortlist at 28 to 1, who I know Steve Palmer backers will have loved earlier on in the season. So Scotty Scheffler kicks things off. Who's up next?
I must just add with the Scottish Scheffler, easy to forget this, but during the dark times of the first lockdown, late spring last year, there was golf was cancelled all over the globe, but they played some tournaments in Texas. Some big names turned up in Texas for these 54-hole charity events in Texas. Scottie Scheffler won the first one of them and finished second in the other. So, a bit of hidden Texas form there that's easy to forget. So, Scottie Scheffler's my number one. Opened up at 18-1 when Dustin Johnson was in the field. It's a shame Dustin Johnson's pulled out. So,
A couple of times that's happened now, hasn't it?
Yeah. He don't give a monkey's, does he? He just he makes these late decisions. I'm sorry to the sponsors, but
is it that, or is there something slightly more underlying there that punters should maybe be looking out for in future tournaments?
I think he's just realised he got his schedule wrong there. I think I don't think the Texas Open was on his schedule. Then he went out of the group stages of the match play and added it, and then had another rethink and decided to axe it. So, yeah, there's a lot going on in Dustin's brain. He's not happy with his game, and he thought playing through it might have helped, but now he's obviously going to go back to the range. But, yeah, we'll perhaps come on to Dustin later in our if we have some Masters chat. But, you don't have to worry about Dustin Johnson this week. But your next best is Abraham Anser. Abraham Anser, a Texas-born Mexican. You don't get many of them. He was born in Texas. He was born in Texas and he grew up in Mexico. And then he returned to Texas. He actually lives in San Antonio, where we're playing this week. He practices regularly at this venue. He likes to mix it up. I saw an interview with him where he likes to go to all the courses in his area. But he's played plenty of practice rounds at TPC San Antonio. And Scheffler and Anser, arguably the two best maidens on the PGA Tour. And while there's some in this field will have more than one eye on next week's Masters, these two will be fully focused on the next 72 holes. They're desperate to get off the mark. Anser has a solid but unspectacular record in the Texas Open. Lots of 40-something places. But he arrives in really decent nick this week, full of confidence, really unlucky group stage loser. We talked about how those group stages really have to go your way. He beat Bernd Wiesberger. He beat Kevin Streelman. Then he lost to Victor Hovland on the 18th green. If head-to-head records counted as a tiebreaker, which they did for many years, they changed the rules in 2016, he would have progressed because he beat Streelman and they tied. But they don't count anymore. So he had a playoff with Streelman and Streelman made a birdie at the first hole and Anser was out. But don't you worry about that. Anser is in good nick. And he's going to a course he likes, a course he knows well.
So Abraham Anser up next. Scotty Scheffler, Abraham Anser. On to the third. Who are we going for?
We're going for Charlie Hoffman, who as yet is unqualified for the Masters. Bruce would be devastated. He loves backing Charlie Hoffman for first round leader in the Masters every year to some great success. He's made an impact in the Masters as Charlie Hoffman. But he can put it right this week. There's one spot available for the Masters for the winner of the Texas Open. That could easily be Charlie Hoffman because he's got an incredible record at TPC San Antonio. He won this tournament in 2016. His course form figures in full are 13-2, 13-3, 11, 11, 1, 40, 64, 2. 10 appearances, only twice outside the top 15. And he's coming in form. He found his A game at Pebble Beach last month. He finished 7th at Pebble Beach, 10th at Bay Hill, 17th at Sawgrass, was heading for another decent check last week in the Corrales Punta Cana, finished with a quadruple bogey 8, which dropped him right down. It was breezy in the closing stages. He dumped a couple of drives in the water, made an 8. Don't worry about it. He was out of contention by then. He didn't really care. His driving was generally good last week. 3rd for driving distance, 20th for driving accuracy. So I can't see Charlie Hoffman failing to contend. You get 33 to 1 each way on his favourite track.
Brilliant. Well, that's another convincing argument, Steve. So Charlie Hoffman, 4 picks, on to the last. Take it away.
Final pick, Brandon Grace. 70-1 is still on offer about Brandon Grace. I think it's a great each way price. He got his career back on track a month ago in the Puerto Rico Open by winning that with a final, brilliant finish to that tournament. He's back in the world's top 100. After the Puerto Rico, when he ummed and ahed whether to play at Bay Hill because he said he was exhausted. He did play at Bay Hill. He finished 26th, and then he missed the cut at Sawgrass the following week. I think the tank was dry then. Had a nice break since Sawgrass, freshened up for TPC San Antonio. He's played there four times and posted two top tens. The call suits. He likes Texas. He was third in the 2018 Byron Nelson. So, yeah, Grace, an each way bet on Grace, I strongly recommend this week.
Wonderful stuff. So just the four picks from the top again, just to remind our viewers, who are we going for in the Valero Texas Open?
Scotty Scheffler at 16-1, Abraham Answer at 22-1, Charlie Hoffman at 33-1, and Brandon Grace at 70-1.
So that's the Steve Palmer portfolio for this week. We also, Steve, have a ladies major to look ahead to. Now, I know you don't often preview ladies golf, but you do have a few selections for this. The first major of 2021, just the one selection, but very exciting.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, there are five majors, the ladies. This is the first of five majors. Mission Hills Country Club, California. No spectators allowed in, unfortunately. 6,769 yards, par 72. And yeah, I've just got one selection. I don't really understand why she's not the favourite. It's Jin Young Ko. I don't know how much you follow the ladies' golf, Jack, but Jin Young Ko is the 2019 champion of this tournament. She's available at a general 10-1. She won that 2019 edition by three shots. She's in her prime now, at the age of 25. Been churning out greens and regulation in recent tournaments. She won the Tour Championship by five shots at the end of last year, just before Christmas. She's a two-time major champion. Her form figures in the last five majors are 1, 16, 14, 1, 3, 2.
Blimey.
She's a world number one. I've not unearthed some unknown here. She's the world number one. But
so what's going on? How
favorite?
Come she's 10-1 then?
I can't answer that. Imbi Park is world number one. Imbi Park is the favorite this week. I'm not a massive LPGA aficionado. Someone who is will probably be able to explain why Imbi Park is favorite. But for me, Jin Young Ko looks the business this week. Yeah.
Brilliant. We've got some Twitter questions, but a lot of people are asking, have you got any sort of cross-tour doubles? So who would you be doubling her up with this week?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Scotty Scheffler and Jin Young Ko. Yeah, that'll pay a pretty penny.
Brilliant stuff. Let's get into some Twitter questions then, and we'll have a quick recap at the end. It was Steve Jones who asked for a cross-tour double. So there you go, Steve. Johnny asks, can you ask Steve, do golfers wear brand new clothing and shoes every round they play? Steve, I know you're a bit of a fashion aficionado, aren't you? So I'm sure you know a lot about this.
I don't think they wear new shoes every time they play, because that would get them in trouble. I mean, Patrick Reed at the start of the year, when I backed Patrick Reed, and he got foot blisters in Hawaii because he had some new shoes. And I was pretty angry about that. So I think they're careful with the shoes. They like to wear them in. But with the clothes, yeah, they get clothes thrown at them by the sponsors, don't they? Every week they get told what to wear by their sponsors, pretty much, and they get all the new garments thrown out. Well, the rich ones do. I think the poorer golfers, there are not that many poor golfers these days because the prize money's so good, but the poorer golfers will have to do their washing. But the rich ones get new stuff.
If you were on tour, Steve, and you had a sort of clothing sponsor, would you be going down the sort of Poulter route of very outlandish clothing, or play it slightly safer?
I would demand red shirts every day in homage to Tiger, not just on Sundays, every single day. And I'd wash it. I'd be one of the poor golfers, no doubt.
Overlooking your shoulder, don't you? John says, very simple question, can Victor Hovland win the Masters?
Yes, of course he can. Yeah, he's an amazing golfer, and he's not a debutant, is he? He finished 32nd on his debut in 2019 when he was still an amateur. So this will be his second visit. So yeah, I'll probably side with more experienced players. It's unlikely that he's going to win the Masters, but I'm certainly not ruling him out because he's blessed with so much talent.
Yeah, worth keeping an eye on, of course, the Sweet Spot next week and the Racing Post Sport website. I know Steve's putting in long hours at the moment to prepare the Masters coverage. It doesn't feel that long ago since the last Masters, does it, of course? JRG says, how does Steve feel about incredible each-way places with horrific prices versus higher win-only prices at the Masters? I know he's previously said the former is a great opportunity for the punter, but some of the prices are just awful.
Yeah, well, what I would say to these guys is that it's important to remember the exchanges are out there as well. The win prices on the exchanges are nearly always superior. So you can mix it up. You don't have to play just with the bookie. So you can have your win bets on the exchanges, and then you could perhaps dabble in the top 10 market with the bookmakers. For regulation PGA Tour and European Tour events, the top 10 markets on the exchanges are not full of liquidity. Next week, you know, the world's your oyster next week. For the Masters, the top 10 markets on the exchanges will be full, and you'll get great, 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 great value offers on there. So, yeah, next week you can really get stuck in on the exchanges. But ordinarily, win bets on the exchanges, top 10 bets with the bookmakers could be the way to go.
Yeah, it's very interesting that when, you know, bookmakers are handing out 10, 11 places. I like this question from Nick Ganson. Hello, Nick. He says, does Steve consider age when he's looking for a winner? And if so, what's the cutoff point? Now, Nick hasn't said whether he means older players or younger players. Well, I'm interested. What's the oldest player you've ever tipped up and has gone on to win?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to, but I generally, when players get in their late 40s, I generally start going off them. Yeah. I mean, Vijay Singh was the classic example of a player that remained so supple, the willowy Fijian, as we like to call him. You know, he was just one of a kind. You know, he was winning tournaments in his late 40s prolifically. I'm 43 in June. I can already feel my body deteriorating. Yeah, the bad week off last week, spent most of it just lying down because my legs were hurting so much.
You haven't sort of adopted like a Miguel Jimenez warm up then every time you arise, do you?
No, I think I'd just snap a bone if I did a Miguel Jimenez warm up. So I think, you know, you've got to appreciate that the body does deteriorate in your 40s. You know, if you can spot a Vijay Singh, I mean, Vijay Singh nearly won the Honda Classic when he was 56.
Right.
Yeah, he was in the final group, I believe, of the Honda Classic when he's 56. So yeah, it is possible. There are. So, yeah, you've got to take each case on its merits. But yeah, I wouldn't be backing me any longer.
Okay. Nick says, might a November Masters suit DJ more than the traditional April? Are there any players you think will be much better suited by the Masters in April again, and therefore we can ignore their performance last November?
Good question. Yeah, I think the November Masters probably does suit Johnson more than the April Masters, but he's massively proven in the April Masters as well. He's tied second there. So I don't think it's the course suitability that's the problem for Johnson. I think the problem for Johnson, as we alluded to earlier, is his game has suddenly it left him. I mean, his putting became an issue, and then his driving has become an issue. So he's got putting and driving problems from the final round of the Genesis Invitational onwards. And as I say, I think he was hoping for a massive performance last week. I think of all the big players, the WGC match play was most important for Dustin Johnson. He really needed to put in a performance there to restore confidence levels. It didn't happen. And then, you know, he was umming and ahhing about the Texas Open and has decided against it. So he needs to find something on the range. He needs to get his driving back on the range this week. And, I think Dustin Johnson will be a drifter. I think it'd be a drift. I don't like discussing the Masters too much. I like to conceal my thoughts a little bit so we get to the prices. I know a few bookmakers watch this, but I can't see Dustin Johnson shortening from where he is in the market. I think he'd be a drifter.
Talking about the Masters, I'm not sure if you saw, but of course, Robert McIntyre has qualified for the Masters now. And he posted on Twitter the email he received to kind of register for it. And it was just a very generic email, and it felt very underwhelming. I would have thought if you've gone your whole career trying to get to Augusta, and then you just get a little, I mean, I think that would have probably slipped into the spam folder on my email. But I thought there might be like a sort of a gold box where things just appear out of it.
Do they not send letters anymore then? Is it because of COVID they don't send the letter? They normally get a nice letter in the post, don't they?
Yeah, and at least you could frame it or something. I don't know. I just saw that.
Spam folders are dangerous. I'll tell you an interesting story about that if you've got time. My friend who runs a cafe at Weymouth Football Club Cafe, I saw him about two weeks ago and he was fuming. He spent the whole time slagging off Rishi Sunak and saying it's all a lie, they don't give you any money, they don't give you any money, it's all a lie, my business is busted, my business is bust. And then saw him a week later and he goes, oh, sorry about that, I'll take it all back, yeah, it was all in my spam folder. check my emails, I've got fortunes in there from Rishi. So yeah.
And has he got the money, or is it?
Yeah,
is
he's got the money now, but there was an email that came in and went in his spam folder that he should have checked out. He's not very good with his technology. And, his business was about to go bust due to a spam folder.
Yeah, they're the emails you want to be seeing, aren't they?
Yeah, but he's all right now. The cafe survives and Rishi, we all love Rishi again.
From Augusta to Weymouth, that was quite the journey there. Final question, what's the worst value you've ever seen pre-tournament? Spieth at 12-1 for the Masters is up there for me. That's from Andy Black.
Anything pop out? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't have Spieth. There's a lot of Spieth mania out there now, isn't there? But this week he hasn't got a great record on the course he's tackling this week. I think he's a vulnerable favourite this week. I prefer Scheffler to Spieth this week. I don't think Spieth's driving will hold up at TPC San Antonio next week. You never know what you can get from Spieth at the Masters. Augusta, he loves Augusta. He could conjure some magic there. But yeah, he's very short price. I can't see myself backing Spieth next week either.
They're the two tournaments for this week. The sun is shining, Steve. What are you up to? I know you're kind of locked in your shed, aren't you? But are you going to try and get out maybe on the course or something?
I'm getting out for one thing, and that is to go and have my jab today.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think you'd be old enough.
No, this afternoon. I got my text yesterday, and I've been summoned for my jab today at Weymouth Pavilion. So normally my trips to Weymouth Pavilion are to watch a pantomime or something, or something very pleasant. But today it's going to be a needle in the arm. But hopefully it won't cause any problems. I mean, I've heard...
You'll be invincible, then.
Oh, I'm going to feel great. Yeah, I'm going to feel great when I come out of there, because I've felt really bad the last week. I've had severe leg cramps. and then you start Googling, don't you? The Google doctor tells you you're basically going to die very soon.
Ready salted crisps are the better cramp.
Well, I actually consulted the doctor, and his prescription wasn't far different to yours. His prescription was tonic water.
Okay. Was this a proper doctor or a Google doctor?
No, this was a proper doctor. I don't normally resort to proper doctors, but I was so desperate for some solution to permanent leg cramps that I had a phone appointment. They don't like to come in at the moment, do they, because of the COVID dramas. But I managed to get a phone appointment, and he's prescribed tonic water, which has got some special ingredient called quino or something. Quino, is it quino? I thought he was a Portuguese footballer that played in the hole. But apparently quino is an ingredient in tonic water that makes your leg cramps better. So
it wasn't like withdrawals from work, was it? And you just little chinks in your armour.
I think sedentary lifestyles are bad for you, Jack. You're a young man. Don't waste your life sitting in a seat like that, right? You say you're 23, 24. Yeah. Get out there and move, all right? Because if you spend your whole life sitting down like you are now, your body will eventually just become so feeble you won't be able to move. So move while you can, mate. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't think BJ Singh was... Yeah, great life advice for our viewers, Steve. I doubt BJ Singh was got to the stage he did from sitting down all day. Anyway, the Texas Open has been previewed, and also the ANA inspiration. A big thank you to all of our viewers this week. Bruce, I'm sure we'll be back next week. I think he's occupying Paul Keighley on the golf course at the moment, so he's got things to go there. He'll be back next week to preview the Masters with Steve Palmer. Thank you for watching. If you are having a bet this week, please do remember to do so within your means. Stay safe. Bye-bye.